It's good to be here with you all this morning. If I'm sounding a little raspy, blame it on spring. So hopefully I'll survive the sermon. It's been about 4 years since I've been here on a Sunday. You had a different rector at that time, and you've been through a lot of change in that time period. So it's a delight to come back and be serving with my colleague Kristen as your new rector. I met between the services with your vestry, and I saw lots of big grins and smiles around the room as we talked about your life together here at St. James. So it's great to hear that good news and to be with you all today. You all are one of 105 congregations that comprise of the Diocese of Maryland, and so I bring greetings on behalf of your bishop and my bishop, Bishop Sutton, and Assistant Bishop Chilton Knutson, to bring their greetings as well as the greetings of the rest of the diocesan staff, and to thank you for the ways that you all as a congregation embody Christ's presence here, not just on your property, but especially beyond your property in this community, and for the ways that each of you embody Christ's presence in your own life as members of this diocese. So thank you. Now, today is a special Sunday, not just because I'm here, but because it is the fourth Sunday of Easter, which is one of my favorite Sundays, because it is Good Shepherd Sunday. I used to be rector of Church of the Good Shepherd in the diocese before beginning to serve on the bishop's staff a little less than 6 years ago. So this is always a special Sunday. It's kind of like our St. James Day, as you all could relate. So I have lots of stories about sheep that I could tell, but I'm actually going to tell a cow story this morning. Now, if we lived in Scotland or New Zealand, sheep outnumber humans 10 to 1. And we have sheep in this area, but not nearly that many, and not nearly as many as would have been living in the time and day of Jesus. But we do have cows, and probably some of us are more used to eating parts of cows than we would be eating parts of sheep. So I want to talk a little bit about cows. I have a son who is on the autism spectrum, and so one of the very important, famous autistic individuals in this world who has become well known for her academic scholarship is a woman named Temple Grandin. There's actually a movie written about her. And she's most famous for her research on cows. And so you all are paying attention. So Temple has this innate ability, as many autistic people do, to discover and see patterns that the rest of us would never see. And so when she began studying agribusiness or animal husbandry, she started noticing patterns in cows, which were her kind of focus subject. And one of the things she noticed is that cows get very anxious when they are put in cattle chutes, either getting ready to get put on a truck or getting ready to go to the slaughterhouse. But if you're a cow who knew you were going to go to the slaughterhouse, I imagine you would be anxious too. But they weren't anxious about that because they didn't know that's where they were going. They were anxious, as she discovered, about being in the actual cattle chute. Because cows, for whatever reason, as she discovered, don't like going in straight lines. And she noticed this as she observed cows, not in the wild, but in a pasture area, that when they moved in groups, they would kind of move in circles or curves. She found that fascinating. So she started experimenting with cattle chutes that were curved rather than straight. And it made a huge difference, and that has become the industry standard for herding and getting cattle from point A to point B, at least according to her research. But it took someone with her keen observational skills and ability to connect with the cows on an emotional level, something most of us probably don't do very often. Probably most of us, when we have a hamburger, don't connect with the hamburger that we're eating, at least in an emotional way, other than how it makes us feel, perhaps. But she was able to see and know a cow in a way that was far beyond just a creature for consumption. She saw the cow as an individual created being that had a life and a personality and emotions. So I think of that when I hear this line from today's gospel reading, which says, "My sheep," or you can translate cow, "hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Grandin understood cows like no other person because she saw the patterns and she understood in a way that enabled her to know them in ways that others could not. Speaking of patterns, the Bible is full of patterns. And one of my favorite patterns in the Bible is that what many scholars call salvation history, this pattern of people doing okay for a while in their relationship with God, but then kind of getting sloppy or lazy in their relationship with God and with each other, and then doing poorly or doing badly, and then God sending a prophet to speak to them and to get them to hopefully repent, and then them usually repenting, but not always, but when they repented, then doing okay again for a while until yet again they do poorly and the whole pattern repeats itself. So it seems that like cows or sheep, humans are predictable in certain ways. And sometimes our predictability is good, and sometimes it's bad. And like sheep and cows, humans sometimes stray from our predictable behaviors or the behaviors that God wishes for us to abide by, and sometimes we follow. Well, God is also predictable. There are certain patterns of God's that we can rely on as humans, I believe. And one of those predictabilities of God is a word in Hebrew that translates as steadfast love. God is steadfast. Even when we as humans are not steadfast in the ways that we follow God or we trust God or trust and love one another, God is always consistently steadfast with us. And that is shown throughout salvation history with a steady pattern of God's constant steadfast love toward us. And then God also has that steadfast pattern of grace and of mercy. But steadfast does have its consequences. And so God provides for us, humans, who sometimes don't act as steadfast as God would wish us to do, boundaries or fences. The Bible is one of those fences for us. The church is one of those fences for us. And we know that when we live within fences, we actually have more freedom within those fences. I mean, we have a dog, and when my children were younger, it was important for us to have a fence so that they could play freely in our yard within that fence, whereas they couldn't if we didn't have that fence. So sheep need fences, and cows need fences and boundaries, and humans need fences as well. But one of the things that perhaps distinguishes us humans from sheep or cattle is that we think of sheep producing wool for our use. And we think of sheep sometimes producing meat for our use. And we certainly think of cows, many of us, producing meat and sometimes leather for our use. We don't think of cows typically or sheep as pets. Some people do. I'm not saying that people don't have pet cows, but it's hard to have a pet cow and then eat your pet for dinner later that week. Likewise, we humans are not God's pets. We are here for a purpose as well. We are here to serve God's purpose on this earth, not simply enjoy our living by ourselves. And so some people get that and some people don't. But just like Grandin understood and knew cows, God understands and knows us. And sometimes, like cows or sheep or cats or dogs, we're not so good at listening and following God. But when we do, when we are able to listen and follow God, God will do amazing things with us and for us. So I want to tell a story about someone, one of God's sheep, human sheep, who experienced this late in her life. Her name is Anna, and she was a parishioner of mine many years ago in Washington, D.C. This is a very, very large church with about 3,000 members, and so Anna was hardly anyone that you would notice because she didn't come very often. She was one of those Christmas and Easter persons that just showed up and would be lost in a crowd on one of those holidays. But in her 50s, Anna was diagnosed with a terminal disease. And so suddenly, she kind of saw life in a totally new way. And part of the new life that she discovered in those last months of her earthly life was her faith, in a new way that she had not really practiced before. And so suddenly, her faith became alive to her through that experience of facing death. And so Anna started coming to church more frequently, almost every Sunday, because she figured, I want to get every bit in I can get in before I die, because she knew she was going to die. And so she went through treatment, which she knew would buy her more time. But one of her goals that year, facing death, was that she wanted to experience Easter with her newfound faith. She'd been to lots of Easter services before, but this time it was different. And she wanted to experience resurrection in a way that would help her cross through that portal from death to resurrection in her own life. And so I remember the Sunday of that Easter, Anna was, we had probably 1,000 people at the church service she was attending that day. And she was sitting about 5 rows back on the right side, right about where you're sitting. And we were, during the communion, we were singing, I Am the Bread of Life, which we will all be singing later this morning also. And at that point, she was getting weak, and she couldn't drive anymore, and she was attending church with someone who had brought her to church that morning. And during that last verse, as we're all beginning to sing, and I will raise him up on the last day, Anna's friend reached over, grabbed her hand, and they put their hands in the air. It's a very vivid memory for her. Anna had made it to Easter. And only about 4 weeks later, right around this same time of the year, Anna died. So she had made it to Easter. And at her funeral, we sang that same song. And Anna, for me, will always be a reminder of the power of resurrection. In that experience of facing death, Anna experienced life. Life anew, resurrected life. Anna became known to God not in any deeper way that God had already known Anna, but God became known to Anna in a new way through that experience. Again, God knows each of us, but sometimes we are not so good at listening or following. But when we do, God will have and does have great experiences for us. So people of St. James, may you listen intently for God's voice in your life. May God's voice be crystal clear to you. May you experience Christ's presence in these walls as we gather every Sunday, so that you may be Christ's presence beyond them to others in your lives. Amen.